from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, here we go. Cofield and Company on Wednesday. Findlay Toyota Studios. Griffin is here. Greg Salerno. Greg Salerno is the company today. Fresh off the arena. I don't know how he's going to do 3+ hours in a row of Sports Talk Radio, but we'll find a way. You know, we come up with some unique topics as well. We are going into an NBA Finals game, game number 3. Come on, Mavericks, make something of this. That's coming up at 5:30 right here on ESPN Las Vegas. We're coming out of the Aces. I got a lot to say on last night's game, and I got a lot to say about the post game, which a lot of people don't get to watch the post game or see clips of the post game because the WNBA is not covered enough.
Yeah.
So there was some stuff last night where, I don't know, man. We talked about it yesterday about their chance to the title. There's a lot fighting against the Aces right now, and some of the stuff that was said in the post game raised my eyebrows. As bushy as they are, they're still able to raise on this one. Finley Kia text line, 364-1100, 364-1100. So you got to follow Greg up on social media, on Twitter. You are even more than Cofield and Company's chief curmudgeon, Adam Hill, who's covering the Raiders this week. You are more anti-80s and 90s than even Mr. Hill. And your rant about 20 minutes ago on the arena, dude, it's good stuff. And I'm telling you, it's good discussion. You got to follow Greg on Twitter. I know one of the other things you got really worked up about was Angel Reese last week saying that, and by the way, if you're going to criticize Caitlin Clark, say her name.
Yeah.
Don't be a child.
Right.
Look, it's not just one person they're tuning in for. It's me as well. And you just went on an on-air and Twitter rant multiple times, pointing out times like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Because the attendance and the ratings for Clark have been tremendous. And, like, I swear I see you retweet stuff all the time where it's like, hey, look at these numbers for Caitlin Clark. Thanks, Angel Reese.
Right. No, it's ridiculous. And the thing is, too, is I don't even really blame her as much as I blame the enabling that seems to be going on in the, you know, we're in the media, but the media circles and on social media, because they take it, instead of saying, hey, that's not true, and pointing out some numbers that make it obviously not true, they'll just run with it and say that it is true. And, I mean, if you look at the fact that Chicago is, I think, 7th in attendance.
The Sky, yeah.
The Sky?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
and I feel like I see you point out that you see attendance numbers, and then you're like, wait, I'm looking at a picture of the arena.
Right, yeah. It says, I didn't know the definition of what a sellout is, by the way, because they keep saying sellout, and then I'm looking at the game, and there's huge swaths of empty seats. Is this like a comedy show where they're using like house seats or something and they just can't feel their – I don't know what they're doing. But it's like there's so many empty seats in there.
Yeah.
How is that a sellout? People just pay the money and just don't show up? That makes no sense to me. So I don't know. These numbers, it's ridiculous. And I just don't like how, you know, the narrative just keeps going and going. No matter what you tell somebody, they don't care. They just keep going. You tell them math, they don't care. So I don't get it. And it's super annoying to me, but whatever. I don't even care about Caitlin Clark really that much. It's just the fact that it's not true. You know, I don't care if she sucks. She could be the worst player in the league, but she's the reason people are watching, and every single number points to that.
You don't like untruths.
That's
so
true.
Here's what I'm going to do. Let me present the latest malicious facts about the WNBA. Attendance. The numbers are in for the month of May. About 400,000 fans attended WNBA games through the end of May. Most through the first month of the season in 26 years. That's the history of the league. More than half the WNBA games were sellouts. 156% increase from last year. Arenas were filled to 94% capacity, up 17% from last year. So if we are to believe these numbers, do you want to say it or I'll say it? Thank you, Angel Reese. A lot of it's because of Caitlin Clark. This one, there's really no argument on this one.
Yeah.
That there is a person who's driving the numbers. And the league is being helped out, and the other players are a draw in a way. People are discovering them. But numbers are numbers. So I was trying to find the numbers for Liberty and Sun played on Saturday. It was on big ABC.
Right.
That's a big deal. 962,000 watched, which is actually bigger than the average
that watch the NBA WNBA Finals. WNBA Finals on average drew 728,000. A week four or five game on a Saturday drew 962. That's really good.
Yeah.
Hold on. Caitlin Clark, when the Mystics played the Fever, the team's going in. By the way, Liberty and Sun are good. For people who don't follow WNBA, it's 19-3 record combined, 962 on the Saturday afternoon. They had the Fever and the Mystics. That was the game that 20,400 people showed up for at the Washington Arena. The Ion audience with teams that were 2-19 combined, 1.02 million viewers. Ion beat ABC. Does everyone have Ion?
No.
Because we, and as you know, well, not, maybe not you, but
I've been
sometimes it's tough to find.
Yeah, I've been places where they can't find it at all.
Yes. Yes. So the numbers keep coming in, and we'll get into it. We spent a lot of time yesterday on the Olympic thing, and we'll get into the whole mission of the Olympics and what some of the women have said who put together the team without Caitlin Clark. So the angle right now, Greg, on the Celtics and Mavericks, listen, Kyrie Irving has not been good. The defense of Jrue Holiday has been awesome. Tatum hasn't even exploded yet, my lord.
Right.
Right? And the story to this point, I actually think it's through the playoffs. I don't know what the rest of the NBA was doing, but the fact that Boston had the best team in the East, and then, here, just take Jrue Holiday.
I know.
What?
I don't understand.
Who allowed this? And what a difference it makes.
It's unbelievable. I mean, people don't, you know, if he was 6'8", 6'9", he'd be talked about a lot more on defense. He's an elite defender. He's one of the best defenders in the league, and he's not even that tall of a guy, and he's not that big at all.
Versatile, though. 6'4".
He's very
versatile. 215, 220.
Yeah, sure. But I'm just saying, like,
down and up.
You know, usually the guys like Gobert are the ones that get all the credit because they're super tall guys. I mean, he's a great defender. He's a bucket. He in crunch time, he's always hitting nice big threes in crunch time. He can facilitate. I mean, he's a great player, and I think he's super underrated. And I think he's a big reason why the Bucks won that championship, and people don't want to talk about it at all. So, I mean, you know, is Kyrie – now, Kyrie, he's disappeared a little bit in other series, though, in these playoffs. So I don't know if it's all Jrue Holiday, but, man, he's definitely putting it on Kyrie. And, you know, if Kyrie's going to score 9, 12, 15 points – you know, the Mavs don't have a shot. So I don't even know if this series might go four or five games now.
People are betting Dallas, though. It's -3, totals 215. Dallas at home, really must-win spot here. Otherwise, they go down 3-0. We'll get back to the NBA Finals again. We're going to go to the game at 5:30 here on ESPN Las Vegas. Salerno's in. It's Cofield. Griffin is here as well. On the way back, I try to stay calm on absences from practice during the NFL offseason. I know it's mandatory minicamp, but this Aaron Rodgers thing took off, and there were, like, laying awake, there were a bunch of media members who were like, oh, really? You're not going to be there for your team? Okay, now it's on.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
So this is the topic, and folks who've listened to Cofield and Company know, I really try to refrain from being a jackass and talking about the New York Jets. One of my favorite teams, but they suck. They're not usually a story, and you know, I don't want to.
Well, not for the right reasons, anyway.
They haven't been that competitive, and it's like, and we deal with the rest of ESPN Radio, and you know, I mean this in the best way, but the Northeast nonsense, I mean this in the best way. It gets old, right? Yeah, like no one here wants to hear about. We have transplants here, but it's just like, you know, but they are a bigger story now because Aaron Rodgers is so much bigger than the Jets, and now we got this thing, and I saw it yesterday. I'm like, I don't know if I want to get into this. He's going to miss a day of mandatory minicamp. Well, now it's gotten longer, and now there seems to be some confusion in the way the Jets presented this. What do you make of the story with the Jets and Rodgers?
It's Rodgers, so I believe, you know, if it wasn't Aaron Rodgers and he didn't have a history of saying ridiculous, stupid things and embarrassing his team, and I don't know how we didn't get sued for saying that ridiculous stuff about Jimmy Kimmel on Pat McAfee's show, all these dumb buffoonery that he does, that adds up. And then so now if you're going to be the guy who comes out and says, hey, we're all about winning here, and anything that's a distraction from winning, we don't want that, and then not show up to the minicamps, you knew where it was. So you obviously double booked for something you wanted to do differently, and the coach comes out and says it's unexcused. So I don't understand what you're doing. You're the quarterback of the team. How many other quarterbacks are not at their minicamps right now?
Hasn't he earned it, though?
No. What is two? The 30 feet he ran out with the flag in his hand? That's how he earned it for the Jets?
Before
I mean, he hasn't done anything.
A lot of good play.
Yeah, but not for the Jets. I mean, you took the money. You go across over there. You say he's going on Russian TV. I mean, what is this guy doing? He's ridiculous. I don't understand. Every time he talks, it's something dumb that embarrasses his our organization. And then now he doesn't even show up to them. It'd be one thing if you win, because winning cures everything. You know, who cares about my opinion about what he says? If you go out there and win, he'd just be like, you know, F you, who cares? But you're not even there. So you got to show up at some point. I just don't
he's
get
it. He's got zero equity so far with the Jets.
That's exactly my point.
Yeah. A lot of media voices on this yesterday and today. Diana Rossini used to be with ESPN and is now with The Athletic. She was on a New York Talk radio show this morning.
From the information I've been gathering, this is a choice. This is 100% Aaron Rodgers making a choice to not be at football practice with the New York Jets while the rest of the team is there working, choosing to do something else.
Man, he is a treasure trove of goodness for you, isn't he?
So that's Boomer Esiason with Giannotti on WFAN, and then he sort of lets you in on a story that a lot of people, you know, witnessed whenever it was, a year ago or so, when she was trying to report the whole thing about where Rodgers was going and the Jets, and then he came out and named her, pointed basically at her, not in front of her, but pointed at her, like, you don't know what you're talking about. So unless you talk to me directly, Rossini, you don't know what you're talking about. So Boomer gets a shot in there. Then it goes next level. Because this has been one of the guys that Colin Cowherd has chosen as one of his targets, right? He does rants on him all the time and on Baker Mayfield. And I saw him tweet something about yesterday about because Rodgers had talked about there was nonsense at the end of last year with the quarterbacking stuff. And we want to keep BS like that out of the building. So Cowherd jumped right on that with a tweet and was like, I thought, you know, basically we want to keep bull crap out of the building. This is some drama. So here was Cowherd talking about this absence, and then there's no reason for the absence that we know of.
He's missing the entire camp. Is it jury duty? Is he at a sales conference? Coachella still going on? Events don't last a week, so that's real fuzzy. But this is what happens when you give a prickly, rich, set in his ways, passive-aggressive quarterback. What you get is a weird power dynamic.
That's the story, because Robert Saleh is powerless. He was last year because there's no way that guy wanted Zach Wilson around for the whole season. Right. I could never figure that out, and he's screwed right now. He can do what he tries to do, but you're going to have these weird cases where stories come up, and Rodgers has one story that's not really going to come out, and the coach looks confused. Saleh looks like a buffoon.
But that's the thing, though.
But that's what we signed up for.
If he would just show up, though, none of this would matter.
Yeah.
If you just go to camp, like, again, you could say whatever you want. You could say all these things, and people might agree with what some of the stuff he says. That's fine. But then you got to back it up. If you're going to be the one talking about we're all about winning here, show up to camp. I mean, it makes no – and once we find out where it is, I guarantee it's going to be somewhere stupid. I mean, what are the odds it's somewhere that people are going to be like, oh, that's fine. You know, he's not a birth of a child or something. It's going to be something ridiculous when we find out where he is, and it's going to be even worse.
You could tell when Rossini was talking about it. She even explained it. We didn't grab that part of the bite, but she's like, trust me, I've asked around. Want to be really careful about this because you don't want to have it come up like death in the family,
right?
Emergency surgery.
Right.
Know. She said multiple sources. Don't know what it is, but it's not something that serious. So then Nick Wright, who's on Fox TV, FS1. Then he really goes in on Aaron Rodgers, like next level beyond the herd.
I think in Aaron's world, I gave you guys a heads up. What more do you want from me? I'm a busy guy with important things, which is why he's such a phony. This wasn't a last second event. This isn't birth of a child. Those things can be excused. I have two things going on in my life today. I'm choosing the other. That is not sustainable for the quarterback of an NFL team. It's just not. Especially when he lectured everyone about how important it is keeping the nonsense out of the building.
And that's what Cowherd tweeted about. Quote, that BS that has nothing to do with winning needs to get out of the building. That's what Aaron Rodgers said towards the end of last season with the drama around whoever that backup was, Tim something, and Zach Wilson. So.
I mean,
here we are. So here we are. What about what he says towards the end there that an arrangement like this doesn't seem sustainable and doesn't seem to mesh with winning? Can you do this? Can there be someone with special rules?
Oh, absolutely. I remember there, Jimmy Johnson one time was asked. He cut a guy from the team. He's like some fringe player. I don't remember the guy's name. And they asked him why he cut him. And he's like, oh, he fell asleep in a meeting. And then they say, well, what if Michael Irvin falls asleep in the meeting? He says, well, I'll wake him up.
Yeah.
So it is different for different guys. But I just feel like if you're the quarterback of a team, you cannot do this. I mean, if it was a the third wide receiver or something, would we be talking about it as much? No. But you're Aaron Rodgers. You made a big deal out of this. And you have to back it. You're the quarterback. If Jalen Hurts wasn't at Eagles camp right now, there'd be an APB out in Philadelphia with fans driving around their personal cars looking for him. That's how crazy this would be. And you can't do this. He's 40 years old. How much time does he even have left? I mean, I don't know. I think it's ridiculous.
Greg, I think this is more on the Jets than it is Rodgers.
Do you really? I was going to ask you that as a Jets fan.
Yeah, because it's consistent.
Yeah.
They're not organized. I don't know why he's gone. I would think the Jets do. Just get on the same page. Right. Don't have Salah go out yesterday and look confused and then appear to be contradicted. Just be on the same page because, to your point, great players do get special privilege.
Absolutely.
But you got to have a unified front when you're presenting it to the media, and especially in places like that, in Philly and New York and Boston, they're going to rake you across the coals. And any inconsistency means clicks and listens for those guys in the media, those women in the media. So prevent that by being on the same page. It's just the cursing. The dysfunction, and especially with a guy like that around. You can't have dysfunction like you did when you're winning four games. Now there's some expectations. You've got one of the biggest stars in the history of the NFL who is a, I'm not going to say a global star, but he's a star that's bigger than football. Just communicate. Now we may find out Rodgers pulled something on him. And then that's got to be hashed out. We can't do that anymore. But right. The lack of organization, this stuff, we were talking to Paul Gutierrez yesterday about the Raiders. The Raiders for the last 2 years, Josh McDaniels came in and he's like, we're going to run a tight ship like Belichick, and we have one or two spokespeople. No one else is going to talk. And then I swear to God, every 3 weeks, something was getting leaked out to one of the NFL Network guys. That's not a tight ship. That's not organized, right? For the longest time, Belichick, when they were winning, they were a pretty tight ship, right? And no one would go tell some weird story about Spygate and take the whole friggin' thing down. And whatever the lie was you're throwing out there, at least everyone's in on the lie. And if this needed to be a lie or a story, just be organized. Now, the fascinating thing here is Colin Cowherd, Fox Sports, Russini, formerly ESPN, Nick Wright, Fox. So now McAfee, which this is a crazy study going on right now, because he's got the deal with Rodgers to bring him on, right? And then Rodgers was crapping all over an ESPN staffer last year in Russini. She's moved on. But you got voices outside of ESPN just blowing up Aaron Rodgers. And then here comes McAfee this morning.
He's been at every single off-season conditioning program. He's been at every single OTA. He's missing the mandatory minicamp. Now, that conversation with Salah and GM Douglas, I believe, happened before OTAs. So they knew that this was coming at some point. Aaron, though, he has something very important to him.
That's a classic access issue.
He has something very important to him. What is it, Pat?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, can't say.
It's 100% about access. And that happens a lot in journalism. My dad's a journalist. So, and a lot of times they have
to. So are you, buddy.
I guess I am, kind of.
You are.
But
I'm
an
entertainer.
But you're not going to badmouth somebody that you want access to. And a lot of times that makes people come off biased. And I feel like, you know, it's kind of predictable that the one show that he goes on is the show. You know, I heard a guest on there too, and I'm sorry, I forget his name now. But it was on there kind of apologizing for Aaron Rodgers too. And it's like, that's the only.
Might have been AJ Hawk.
No, it was somebody that was a guest.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember. But it was like the one show that he comes on is the only show defending him. I mean, that kind of tells you a lot, I think.
Text line is 364-1100, 364-1100. A text line. A couple texts in on this one. Someone says, Colin upset that Rodgers didn't take the same medicine as him again.
Well,
are we still doing the... Boy, that's embedded with a lot of people.
It really is. Yeah.
I saw a lot of defenders, like that text we just got. I saw a lot of defenders for Rodgers last night and this morning.
Oh, yeah.
He still has a lot of people who love him.
Well,
and I guess love him for that.
There's
this person obviously making a reference to vaccine debates.
There's an entire segment, portion of people that take that side, and they agree. Anytime a person is on that same side, then the, you know, obviously they get favorable treatment with their thoughts.
By the way, did I give out the old? I think I gave out the old text number from like 3 years ago. 364-1100. Did I say 69187? 364-1100. 364-1100 is our Finley Kid text line. One more. Someone questioning the validity of this, or even worth, is it worth talking about? Someone says slow news day in the NFL, as they've been pushing this narrative now for 2 days. So I don't know. We're going to find out. We may look back on this, and it could be a complete blip, and he plays great. He stays healthy. Everything's harmonious. They win games.
Yeah.
And this means nothing. But this will be filed away if there are issues. If there are issues, this will be filed away and brought up in September if things get off to a crappy start and go, hey, you know what? Maybe you kind of broke up the rhythm, and there isn't harmony right now because of what you did on your terms, Rodgers.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Aces game last night over at the MUA. They lost again. 5-5. They lost their fifth game a year ago on August 26th.
Wow.
It's June 12th.
Yeah.
They're not playing well. They're thin on the bench. They're without one of their best players, Chelsea Gray. I don't think Jackie Young is healthy because she's in a shooting slump last two games. She's 4 of 20. And they're not playing defense. And the Lynx came in last night and smoked them. And it was almost the same as the game. I went to the game on Friday. I couldn't make it out there last night. I watched the post-game presser, which I want to mention in a second. But it was almost like the game on Friday night against Seattle. Seattle gets out to a good start. Aces fight back. The crowd's into it. And Seattle's like, nah, that's enough. Goodbye. Lynx did the same thing. So they just, when they needed to, they got the stops. There was a key moment where, I think it was Tiffany Hayes. They're down 11. She makes a nice drive. Has basically a wide open layup at the front of the rim. Misses it. They come back the other end. Asia Wilson can't recover on a pick and pop. Three ball. And all of a sudden it's back to 14. So their defense is not good. They allowed 15 threes. And, you know, Becky Hammon said, Greg Salerno's with us, on Friday night, she's like, listen, I'm having trouble right now articulating to them. Like, everyone in the league is coming at us. Everyone in the league is going to give us their best effort. And last night what I saw after the game was, because, and Becky also went on to cuss a couple times. She's dropping some F-bombs and very frustrated at the, hey, you know, they're fatigued excuse. She's like, well, you know, late in the game, she's like, what about the first and second quarter? We're not playing well then. Are we tired then? Last night she was more reserved. And in both press conferences, Asia Wilson and Kelsey Plum came in. And listen, I used that word equity a couple minutes ago for Rodgers. Asia Wilson and Becky Hammon have, check that, Kelsey Plum have a lot of equity. They've won back-to-back titles. So if they want to tell us, no worries, lots of time, long season, I guess I can buy into it. But, and I'm not saying they need to come in and, like, you know, throw everything off the table and, you know, and be nasty to the media, but they're relaxed. So they believe they're going to bounce back. It's not the end of the season. They're 5-5. But, man, last night, it had the feel of a team that has won back-to-back titles, and they're like, you know, last year we grinded our asses off. Do we really have to this year? We're going to make the playoffs. So if we're the sixth seed, we can win it. But we've seen that in the NBA where teams take that attitude, like the Warriors over the last couple of years, Lakers. Sometimes flipping the switch, even with a winning pedigree, is not guaranteed to get you that title that next year.
It's true, but I do think there is a benefit of sort of, like, if they've been in these intense games for that many times and they've won back-to-back titles, like the Chiefs last year in the beginning of the season, was kind of like, oh, right. What the hell's going on with this team?
They actually did. They were the opposite. They got it done when they needed
exactly.
Down the stretch, they got it done.
And I feel like maybe there's a little bit of that here. I think that, I mean, LeBron in his prime would do it a lot. Now he's 40, so I think he still thinks he can do it, and
yep.
That's why the Lakers feel that way.
And they're wrong.
They're right. They're 100% wrong.
They're wrong. That whole thing about what was it, Darvin Ham at the end of the year?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter who we play in the playoffs. Like, it did.
Yeah.
It did. And the other thing is, stop being in the play-in game.
Yeah, that too.
Or the play-in tournament.
Right.
Whatever it's called.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, load management, whatever you want to call it, whatever you want to blame it on, they have to at least be, like, the fifth seed if you want to, you know, at least have a shot.
40-game season, 82-game season. And, again,
yeah,
league is not that big. So, basically, anyone who's decent is going to be in the playoffs. But they could be squandering home court. The other thing is, I got to check. The Commissioner's Cup, this five-game block here qualifies you, if I'm on the bench or I'm a support player, I'm like, well, that I mean, if we win this, it's $45,000.
Right.
In the WNBA, that's a lot.
It really is.
That's so, like, they're, for there not to be a sense of urgency there, by the way, I'll give you another one.
Yeah.
Everyone out there, we talked about this a few days ago. Right? It's weird. The Aces media is weird. They take up for the team. The people who, it's, and they're like, oh, I'm tired of hearing about Caitlin Clark. Asia Wilson, greatest player in the world. MVP, 5 days ago, she's minus 160. If they go 23-17, is she going to win the MVP?
Well, I doubt it. I mean, yeah. It's still early. I know what you're saying, though. That is, it's half the season, so it is shorter, and 10 games means a lot more in the WNBA that does in the NBA. But I still feel like they're not. It's not like they're super old. Like, that's not like a bunch of Diana Taurasi's on the team where it's like, you know, hey, I can still do it, and they can't. I feel like they can still do it, and I feel like at some point they will hit a switch, and I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt just because they've been champs, you know, twice in a row.
Breaking news this morning. Schedule change for UNLV football. We talked about 4 Friday games. Told you, might be a 5th with Syracuse. It's been moved. So now they have 5 Friday games for UNLV football. We'll talk to a former Rebel quarterback, Caleb Herring. You get his reaction to prepping for all of these Friday games.
Former UNLV quarterback and current voice of the Rebels, Caleb Herring, joins Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, let's bring him in, Caleb Herring. Greg Salerno's here. It's Cofield. Caleb!
What's up?
Not much. let's get into some TV/football stories to start here. You saw the news this morning that another Friday game. Now there's 5. 2 at home, 3 on the road. Syracuse goes from 10-5 to 10-4. It is a 9 o'clock Eastern start. Yeah, that's fine for us, 6 o'clock local. And a good opponent, ACC team. Again, though, you know, the issue is the balance between TV exposure. You want to win, and now you got another short week.
Yeah, another short week. I'm sure, you know, with the advance notice of this, there's going to be plenty of adjustments made during the weekly schedule. Coach Odom and the staff have shown that they're the strangers to prep. Even just the way that they run practice, they'll get the reps. They'll figure out how to get the reps in that they need on the field. I'm sure the film team, the video crew will have everything coming up that they need. We've been on the plane with the team, fortunately, for the past few years, and how quickly that film starts to disperse, even on the plane rides home from away games. Like, they're already starting a film study on that. And people at home maybe listen and think it's just cliche to say it. No, it's legit. They've got laptops loaded with the next opponent's film so they can get on to the next one, even as they're flying home. So they'll figure that part of it out. I think for where UNLV is right now, as far as the buzz, the electricity, the excitement, some of the fans on Twitter have been hitting me up about how excited they are about this upcoming season and that they haven't been this excited about Rebel football in decades. That's, I think, more important. To be moving games due to the desire for national coverage, I think, is a big step for UNLV football to try to grow this sport for this university. So I'm fired up about it. Friday games are cool for me. I get my weekends back, like Saturday, Sunday with the kids. It's also kind of cool for me as a fan of college football in general to get Saturdays to watch the rest of the games. But Friday night games are always awesome. I know when I was in the hotel on Friday on the road or what have you, getting ready for my game, all I was doing was watching the teams on Friday. And this may be a hidden value in having a Friday game or a lot of Friday games is those athletes at other schools who may be looking to enter the transfer portal. They're going to be exposed to UNLV football on Friday night, so they're sitting in a hotel waiting for their game on Saturday. So nobody's ever thought about that until I just said it. I just thought about it, actually, as I was saying it. But everybody be tuned in on Friday night to UNLV football, and that's awesome for those 5 weeks.
Caleb, could this be a turning point for the university? Because I've been here, I think, 22 years now, and I don't remember this much excitement either. And now that they have these games, I mean, if they don't perform, obviously it could backfire. But if you perform on national television, that could be a whole new future for the university.
I do think that it's a turning point. I think, you know, to follow up a very successful season with another successful season would be huge. To put out a good product, which I think UNLV football has again this year, maybe even a better product than last year in some regards, to put out a good product on a national stage, I think will be massive for the university to kind of capitalize on the hot market for UNLV football right now. In some ways, the evidence is there, right? Like when you say that this team has something special, something different, something unique that they can capitalize on, these TV games, these record-breaking TV games for season 5, Friday games is a record, 11 nationally televised games for the season is a record for the university. That's not a coincidence. I think we've talked a lot in recent weeks about the market influence on these kind of TV decisions. They don't make these decisions. They don't make these requests for the games to be on television if there's no desire for the market to see it. And I think that's awesome for UNLV football to turn a corner. Now, capitalizing on that opportunity and actually doing what you're supposed to on the field in between the lines, that's going to be up to the players and the coaches on the field. But as far as things lining up for this to be sort of a corner to be turned for the university, I think it has the makings of that kind of season.
Caleb Herring is with us. I don't know if Greg is aware of this, but we talk a lot of TV and what we watch on this show, so we'll loop him in on this, and maybe he'll hate both of these suggestions from Caleb. First of all, we got another Star Wars series coming?
Yeah, so The Acolyte was a much-anticipated Star Wars series for a lot of different reasons. I think Star Wars as a franchise, since being taken over by Disney, has taken some lumps, taken some nicks and bruises. They've had some wins, some losses. So The Acolyte had a lot of pressure on it, and I am a Star Wars nerd. That's a closeted secret that I have. But I love Star Wars, and this Acolyte series got me interested. And I think there's an interesting new storyline that they're trying to develop. As with everything these days, there's been political, you know, noise around it. But I'm into it 3 episodes now, and I actually am finding myself entertained by it. And I take myself back to my childhood imagining what it would be like to be trained up to be a Jedi. So it's pretty awesome.
I'm not going to crap on Star Wars because I am kind of a nerd, and I like that kind of stuff. But, like, doesn't it get, like, after a while, you're like, how many characters? Like, the MCU universe, you know, for instance, like, Thor's cab driver is going to have his own movie soon. Like, they're running out of characters. They're running out of villains. They're running out of stories. It's like, you know, at what point do we try something else? Maybe, you know, I don't know, call it something else. Like, I know The Mandalorian was kind of different and a little offbeat, and that was cool. But, I don't know, don't you just get tired of the same stuff after a while?
I think that has been the main complaint for me, at least, about Star Wars, is the amount of material that the original story or the story that we all know has left. There's so much more meat on the bone of the story, like so many more offshoots. Like the Mandalorian story, like you mentioned, was a great offshoot of like a story that we could chase. You know, like the origin stories of like, say, Darth Maul or Yoda or whatever the case may be. There's so many different directions that that universe could have taken you. And I think what happened with Disney is, unfortunately, the main stage was occupied by the Skywalker story, even though it was a generational thing. I think there was a lot of that where people may be a little bit tired of the Jedi aspect of Star Wars. And this does seem like it's been a little repetitive in some ways. But we'll see. I'm interested to see where the series goes. Unfortunately for this series, the real big series that I'm watching is starting on Sunday. So this one might, The Acolyte might be on the back burner because House of Dragons starts on Sunday, and I'm going to be all the way locked in for that.
Yeah, this, as Caleb knows, this is a mixed bag when you try to talk Game of Thrones on this show because there's a hater who refuses to watch it. I'm all the way in, but not as far as the SO, the significant other. She is a lunatic. So we have people coming over to watch it, and it just hit me. We have been storing stuff in a garage. I'm a hoarder. So in our garage, we have like 2 crates of Game of Thrones stuff.
Yeah.
It's coming out. Like we've got like flags, dragons, like it's like we never use it. It's coming out. So I'm down with this. And I thought the setup the first time around was awesome. Like everyone's got a dragon. All hell's going to break loose, Caleb. Everyone's got one.
It's the beauty. It's like the complete opposite of what Game of Thrones was, right? It's like the anticipation of the dragon stone. Like one person had him, and it was like once she gets on the board, it's over, right? Whereas this series, the first season, really set up like, no, dragons are the thing. Everybody's got one. It's going to be a real war where everything goes. Anything can happen. And if you think about the original Game of Thrones script and how anybody could die at any moment and the anticipation, the thrill of realizing that your favorite character got off that episode, that actually is the draw, and I'm so excited for how that plays out in season 2. And I'm going to say this. If you've read the book, let us experience this for the first time, okay? You are not better than us because you read the book before the series came out, and we're not just new fans. Let us enjoy the televised version of this beautiful show without you having to be spoilers to everything that happened. But I am declaring here now that I am Team Black, and you know, House Black is my house of choice. I pray that they come out on top. I don't know, and like I said, do not tweet me and spoil the outcome if you read the book. I will enjoy this Sunday. Also, don't look for me to make any comments about anything. Is there a finals game on Sunday? I don't know. If there is, it won't matter. I'll watch it on replay because I'll be tuned in to House of Dragon at 6 p.m. On HBO.
Talking to Caleb Herring, I'm going to contradict myself a little bit with the comic book stuff here, but there's a show coming out, and it starts tomorrow again, brand new season. Have you seen The Boys?
The Boys is awesome for my mature audience out there. Yes, The Boys was fantastic. I actually got onto The Boys late in the game. One, because I didn't realize that I already had Prime TV with my Prime subscription. I didn't know that's how that worked. So I didn't even know I had access to it. Then, two, I was kind of caught up in the Marvel Cinematic Universe and all of that stuff. I wasn't really, watching Loki, all those, the things that were connected to that. And I didn't really understand what The Boys was. So one of my buddies put me onto it, and I got to say, I'm a fan of The Boys. I have not watched the most recent season. I did see that season 5 is going to be the final season. So I do have some catching up to do. We'll see if I can squeeze that in before House of Dragons kicks off.
For both of you, is Homelander, first Caleb, is Homelander a good guy or a bad guy?
He's a terrible person. No, I think he's a misunderstood person. No, I think he's a bad guy. Okay. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt.
Is there a debate on this?
I don't think so.
Okay.
There better not be. I think he's actually, he's based on a character that.
I think he's based on a. I think he's based on a time, right?
Yeah. That's
and
true.
It's right now. It's not very sneaky the way to do it. All right, yeah. I'll throw this one to Caleb. So Homelander, when he really wants to get at it, he's got those laser eyes and it'll blow you up. Would you like Homelander to land in Storrs, Connecticut, and just take out Dan Hurley?
That guy really hurt me. Oh my goodness. I wouldn't wish that kind of brutal death on him or anything like that. I won't advocate for anything like that. But my goodness, man, don't dangle the carrot in my face and just snatch it away like that. Don't even come to the meeting, right? Like, whoever, the Woj bomb that ruined my life this summer, like, I really don't appreciate being led like that. I was hopeful. I was optimistic that the Lakers would be able to land a solid basketball coach. I don't know that the NBA and the NCAA translate. I don't know how much control he would have been able to have over pros and the way he does at UConn. He's got full total buy-in there. So I don't know if it would have translated necessarily. But even just the optics of it as an offseason move, I think it would have been the biggest hire that the Lakers have made really since Phil Jackson. I don't think any other coaching decision that they have made in the wake of Phil Jackson has been impactful in the offseason where we thought that's a good hire. Right, I mean, you can go from Luke Walton, even D'Antoni. There's just no real wow. This is a great hire, Mike Brown. Like whoever the Lakers have hired since Phil Jackson, there hasn't been one that felt like the Lakers got a good hire, and they always ended up settling for somebody that didn't want. I thought with Dan, the way the story broke with Woj, that there was a sense of this is our guy. He wants us. We want him. And now I just feel lied to, like. And unfortunately for JJ, who I think is probably going to be getting a coaching job out of this, he's going to now be seen as the guy who we had to settle for. And that's no way to start your coaching career, right? I would have rather him just be come in and overly compared to Pat Riley than to have that whole Dan Hurley narrative creep in and then go away like that. It was the news of the NBA world, and it felt good as a Laker fan to be in that position. And he ripped it away from us for UConn. Come on.
Talking to Caleb Herring, do you think now that we know what we know, is it more possible? Because people are getting on Jeannie Buss and Pelinka for not getting it done. Doesn't it kind of seem like now that Shams is talking what he's saying, Woj's nemesis there, isn't it kind of seem like that Hurley went to the Lakers and just kind of used them as a pawn and then got his bigger contract now?
I think it does seem likely. I would hate that would be the case. Because the Lakers are too big of a franchise for that to happen. You're talking about the biggest basketball franchise on the face of the earth. And for somebody to use that franchise as a pawn to get a better deal out of a college just doesn't sit right with me. I don't know Dan Hurley. I haven't followed him, to be honest, other than what I see publicly of his wins with UConn. But I don't think that he is that cynical and maniacal. What I think is more likely is that he was enticed by the opportunity. As I think, much as people say the Lakers job is not a desirable job, to be the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers is a desired job. And yeah, it might be short-lived, but there's interest there. I think that if the Lakers had made it worth it, and I think the offer that they made was not did not match the glitz and glamour that maybe most people would anticipate. When you got five other coaches, I believe it was, that are making more on contracts than what was offered, I think that was more likely that he saw that offer and went back home to the SO, and she was like, that's not enough. And he said, you know, you're right, and we're going to stay put and build this legacy at UConn, have comfortability, sustainability, and retire when we want to. And that makes sense to me. I don't think he necessarily had to use the Lakers as a pawn to negotiate anything out of UConn.
Caleb, I got 30 seconds left, so let's keep it short here. The news today with Rodgers, Jets seem confused. Rodgers is out for minicamp now. Big story, or we forget about this during the season?
You forget about it during the season. I think the bigger story was that he had some sort of weird issue with his foot earlier and OTAs and all that. That would have been a bigger story had that had something to do with this. I just think Aaron Rodgers is being Aaron Rodgers. And this is kind of what you get when you get Aaron Rodgers on your team, especially at this point in his career. He's like a flag in the wind. You can change directions on a dime.
Caleb, we appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk to you.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a good one.
Thanks, he was short. Man. He was really short there. He caught me. Man. Yeah. That was good. Yeah. Well, when you say 30 seconds, sometimes they go like a minute and 10.
I always do that too, though. They'll be like, 30 seconds. I'll talk for 5 seconds and be like, oh, you have 25 left. Oh, I do?
I keep going. So let's go back to the beginning of the conversation with Caleb. So now UNLV has five Friday games, three on the road, two at home. Listen, you can't really satisfy Las Vegas no matter when they play. People right. are going to piss and moan. Yeah. If it's on a Saturday too late, they complain. Last year they had a lot of Saturday day games. People complained it was too early. Friday's been a complaint in the past, like, oh, high school football. But I think winning is going to draw people. And here's the thing. You have to make a decision. What's more important for the first couple of years of building a program? TV exposure in good time slots nationally or the local gate? I think the answer would be both, but you have to kind of pick one or the other at times. I think the TV exposure is bigger, and I'll give you a good example before we get out of this hour. This last weekend they had visits, right, from different kids around the country, 2025 class. They pulled in a player from Texas, a running back. They pulled in a safety from Missouri, and they pulled in a tight end from Oklahoma. Program that hasn't won a whole lot over the years, really wasn't accustomed to going and recruiting nationally. Right now they're getting a lot of guys.